I'm ready to roll. Y'all all right? Man, y'all done stopped talking since I've been gone? We're gonna talk today. We're going to finish talking about how to get your vision back. Let me get situated up here. And what we talked about a couple of weeks ago is when, you know, I ask you, have you ever been in a position where you can't see your way out? You just can't see your way out of this mess, you know, whatever, your finances, a future, a relationship. You're just kind of drifting around, you know, just kind of floating back and forth, everything. And I gave you a verse, Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there's no goal, where there's no dream, no vision, people perish. What does that mean? Is everything just gets out of control? You know, you ever felt like your life was out of control? You just can't see your way out? That's what we're talking about. We started talking about last 2 weeks ago. I told you a story about a blind man named Bartimaeus. Let me give me a drink of this water. All right. We was talking about a story about Bartimaeus. Jesus was in his last couple of weeks of his life. He was headed towards Jerusalem, and where he was going to be arrested, crucified, and then he was going to be resurrected. And there was a bunch of crowds following him. He was at the peak of his ministry, and a big crowd following him. He decided to stop off in this town called Jericho. And at the gates of Jericho were a bunch of blind folks. They were beggars. Because then, you know, if you were blind, you were just, it was absolute poverty. Absolute poverty. You were at the mercy of the people. All the government gave you was a cloak. And I thought it was neat. In the scripture, he says he threw that cloak off. He got rid of that. But blindness meant absolute poverty. It's found in the books of Luke and Mark. I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 18, 35 through 43. It says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Now, I want to urge you to pick up the CDs from week before. Pick up one of Sheila's, too, if you weren't here, and listen to it along with me. But I'll go over it a little bit. But a review from a couple of weeks ago. There are lots of folks that can see physically. Most everyone can see physically, but a lot have no vision. They have no vision for their life. They have no vision for their marriage or business, their career, or their finances, or even their kids. Most people go through life without vision. They're spiritually blind, just wasting their life. I want to tell you that the way that you see the different areas of your life, whether it be your relational life or your finances or your time, your money, you know, your job, the way you see it is going to determine your stress levels. The way you see your life is going to determine your success levels and your stability levels. They're all determined by how you see God. How you see God determines how you see life, how you see yourself. It's all about vision. All about vision. So from this story, we get this process of how to get our vision back. And I told you a couple of weeks ago there were six steps. And I shared three of them with you. And like I say, if you want to get to, I'm going to give you the condensed version of the first three just to kind of go over them real quick. You want to listen to them You know, get one of those CDs. They're free out there. But the very first thing, step I told you that we must do is I must believe that Jesus can change my situation. This is the hope step. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope should not be in the economy. Our should not be in the stock market. It should not be a job. And our hope should not be in our looks or anything like that. I looked in the morning and, believe it or not, I finally admitted my looks are fading away. Along with my hairline. Amen. Oh, I finally get an amen. The second step that I tell you you must do is you must ignore all the negative voices around you. This is the resistance step. You know, most people, most people are going through life without a vision. And guess what? They don't want you to have one either. They don't want you to have goals. You know, one of our biggest fears as human beings is the disapproval of other people. So I'm telling you as your pastor, don't pay attention to the naysayers in your life. I asked you a couple of weeks ago, whose disapproval do you fear the most? Who do you fear being rejected by the most? Because whoever that is your God. I gave you a statement that said, you wouldn't worry so much about what people think if you only realize. You wouldn't worry so much about what people think of you if you only realized how little they do. People mostly think about themselves. They don't think of you that much. Third step is you must listen for God's call. This was the attention step. You're going to have to slow down to hear God's call. You're going to have to be quiet in order to hear God's call. Listen for his call. Calling and vision go together. I want to tell you guys, your vocation is your calling. Listen for God's calling. When he says jump, jump. Stop putting it off. Stop delaying God's call on your life. All right. Fourth thing to get your vision back. We're filling in blanks now. We're on time, ain't we? My wife said, you'd been so proud of Sheila, she had blanks to fill in. I like to fill in blanks. It keeps me on task. Number four, you must tell God exactly what you want. You must tell God exactly what you want. This is what Bartimaeus did. Luke 18, 40, 41 says, when he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see. Lord, I want to see, he said. That was just simple, wasn't it? Nothing complicated about that. It's not complicated to get your vision back. Tell God exactly what you want. You don't have to have no long speech. Tell God exactly what you want. You don't know how big this was for me as an adult. And I don't mean to, but when I was growing up, the men used to pray. I only went to church for about 3 years. But some of the men used to, when they pray, man, they pray some beautiful, long prayers. And they use words like I never thought. They put these and thous and thys in there that I wouldn't know how to put in. Well, guess what? As a little boy, I didn't think I could pray. Lord, I can't talk that fancy. I could never pray. But then you hear somebody like Bartimaeus say, Lord, I want to see. Praying simple. We the ones make it complicated. No long speech. He didn't go into the reasons that he went blind. He just said, Lord, I want to see. And Jesus said, okie dokie. Your faith has healed you. Next. It was simple. Can you believe it? Okie doke. That's rock Martian in Arabic, whatever you call it. He said next. I mean, just like that, he just asked for a miracle. And guess what? Just like that, he got it. Nothing fancy. He asked for a miracle like somebody was asking for the time of day. He said, Lord, I just want to see. I love that. I love that. I don't have to be fancy. It's a good thing. I would never get nothing. Bartimaeus knew exactly what he wanted when Jesus asked him the question. So I want to suggest something to you, that you go home today. Spend some time thinking and write it down. Where do I want to be in 10 years? What do I want to be in 10 years? Financially, health-wise, career-wise, ministry, service, relationship, spiritual growth, career, education, married, kids. Set your goals. Goals are statements of faith. The statements of faith, man, I'm telling you, God loves it when you trust Him. You know how I know that? Because the Bible says it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So tell God what you want out of life. Write it down. Make it a prayer request. Journal. I hope some of you are journaling. Please journal. Journal your prayers. Then I'm sitting there thinking, well, why did Jesus ask Bartimaeus, what do you want? I'm thinking, you knew Jesus. You knew what he wanted. Why did you ask? Yes, he did know. But I'm going to tell you something. Every time God asks you a question, it's never for his benefit. It's never for his benefit. Because he already knows the answer. He already knows. He wants you to know the answer. And he's given Bartimaeus this opportunity to publicly announce it. Publicly announce his faith goal. So if you want to be any different in the next 10 years, you're going to have to do the same thing. You're going to have to announce it publicly. Now Bartimaeus believed that he could be healed. He believed that Jesus loved him enough to heal him. So my question is, if Jesus were standing here today and asked you the same thing, what do you want from me? What would you say? What would you say? You say, well, ain't no way I'm standing up in front of everybody. Tell everybody my business. No way. If you're worried about what other people think, you're not going anywhere in the next 10 years. You're not going anywhere. No, you got to announce it publicly. Because secret faith is shallow faith. Shallow faith. I love that back verse. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's a good song. Oh, I heard Mike did a great job singing last week. Ooh. The more people you tell of your faith, the more people you tell of your faith and vision, the more support you're going to get. Don't keep it no secret. I'm going to tell you what your first announcement of faith should be, if you ain't already. It should be baptism. Should be baptism. And we're going to have a bunch of them next week if you want to be baptized. I'm excited. I'm going to look like a bird bath up here. I mean, because baptism is saying to the world, I'm not ashamed to say I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. That's what that is. So if you haven't been, you ought to be. If Jesus Christ asked you this morning, what do you want me to do for you? What would you say? What would you say? Romans 8:32 says, since God did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't God who gave us Christ also give us everything else? Man, if God loves us enough to do this, give his son, wouldn't he do everything else? He solved our biggest problem, this problem of heaven and hell. Everything else is small potatoes. Compared to that, little bitty small potatoes. Tell God exactly what you want. I tell you something about things drying up in your life. Sometimes God lets things dry up in your life just to move you in a different direction. Remember the creek dried up when the birds and was feeding that old man and the water and the creek dried up. Birds stopped coming. He wanted him to get out of the valley. Sometimes you need to get away from where you're at. You need a new direction. So your creek dries up. Sometimes that's the way God moves you. Is your creek drying up right now? Often we think it's a dead end, and it's actually just a detour to a better path. Number five, fifth step. You receive the vision in faith. 42 and 43, Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight. A couple of words here I want you to look at. You can circle them if you want to. Receive and faith. Why I want you to look at that? Because they go together. If you don't believe, then you won't receive. If you don't believe, then you won't receive. And I'm talking about even when it don't make sense, even when the naysayers are just slamming you. I'm going to tell you something else about what people say. What others think of you is none of your business. Did you get that? What others think about you ain't none of your business. When Jesus calls you, step out. Step out in faith for the vision that he has for you. And I'm going to tell you what else you do. You walk like it's already done. Walk like it's already accomplished. You ain't got to be nervous no more. Faith. Believe and you will receive. Bartimaeus knew that Jesus Christ was his only answer. I'm going to tell you what, his faith was placed in a person. Your faith, my faith, needs to be placed in a person. Faith is believing that something is true because someone has been truthful. Faith is believing that something is going to happen because somebody's going to make it happen. Faith is in Jesus Christ. Bartimaeus had faith in Jesus Christ. He might have been physically blind, but he could see who Jesus was. I want you to notice something. Bartimaeus was a stranger to Jesus Christ. He had never met him. He didn't know him, but he believed. But he believed. You may be here today and you say, Jim, I don't have this relationship with Jesus Christ, and so I'm just going to sit here and mind my own business. I want to tell you today as your pastor, as somebody you may not even know, don't you ever be afraid that you don't know the Lord well enough to ask him for something. Don't you think you got to know him be Jesus Jr. Bartimaeus' relationship really came after the healing. When Bartimaeus' faith met the grace of Jesus Christ, that's when a miracle happened. When faith meets grace. When faith comes together with God's grace, that equals miracle. Miracle. John 1:16 says, from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. Romans 4 says, that's why faith is the key. God's promise is given to us as a free gift. Receive the vision in faith. The sixth step in getting your vision back, it's actually how to keep your vision so you won't lose it again. Number six, stick with Jesus on the road he travels. Stick with Jesus on the road he travels. Keep your vision by staying on the road. On the road he's traveling. Luke 18 43 says, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. They followed. Mark 10:52 on the other side of the page says, he regained his sight and began following Jesus on the road. I want you to underline or circle a phrase here. Following on the road. On the road. Now something happens when you get your vision back. I want you to flip to the, I ain't got it on there. Don't matter. Luke 18, verse 35, the very first one, says Bartimaeus was by the road. The very first verse in that passage, Bartimaeus was by the road. Now, when he got his vision back, verse 43, he said he was following him on the road. When you get your vision back, you go from being by the road to own the road. It becomes impacted. He went from being by the roadside to on the road with Jesus Christ. Now, I want to know from you today, I want to know a question. Which of these phrases, by the road or on the road, describes you in the next 10 years? Are you by the road or are you on the road? It's your choice. Your choice. You know how you follow Jesus? You know how you do this? One step at a time. You don't get ahead of it. You don't take shortcuts. You know, you don't catch up. It's one step at a time. It's simple. Simple. But there's one thing about following Jesus. It implies movement. We're going to be moving. We don't sit by the road. Except for 3 days last weekend, I washed dishes. In a youth camp, man, I went through pots and pans and dishes and forks and knives and all kind of stuff. Well, there's not a lot to do when you wash dishes for 8 or 9 hours. Not a lot to think about. Do you think about dish rag or steel wool? Or change water? I stayed bent over that thing and had the time of my life. I got to tell you, I did. Didn't have nothing to think about, so I prayed for you. Prayed for you guys a lot. And God gave me a verse that I want to share with you at the end. It's my prayer for you. Philippians 3:15 says, let's keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, may God clear your blurred vision so you'll see it. I pray that God clear your vision if you don't have one. Let me close with two questions. What's your next step? What's your next step? Right now. Might be start a small group. Might be get in a small group. Might be baptized. It might be break up with somebody. Get in a group. But God wanted you here today. As he did with Bartimaeus, he very well could be passing by. Don't procrastinate. Go ahead and jump. Which leads to the second question, what are you waiting on? So I ask you to tell God exactly what you want. Well, I got thinking about it as I was doing this, and I know I done said go home and write it down, and I want you to do that too. I've got Angie gave me my Christmas present this year was a communion set, and I can't wait to share communion with y'all. We're going to do that in a few weeks, but I've been wanting to use this tray, and if there's something that you want from God, I'm going to ask you today to write it down. And as we stand and sing, if you want to come place it in this communion tray, I'm going to pray over. Just tell God what you want. Write it down on a scrap piece of paper. Throw it in this communion tray. It's up here on the thing. And I'm going to pray over it. Just announce it. You don't have to put your name on it or anything like that. But I'm going to pray over them all week. Then I want you to go home and write them down. Set goals. Where do you want your life to be in the next 10 years? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to be on the road with you. We don't want to be stuck by the road. Life going nowhere. We want to be following you. So, my Lord, I pray for the folks here at North Point, and I pray that they get their vision back, and I pray that you help them to clear the blurred vision. Lord, we love you. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.